Game On.
Game On.
2FM.
You're listening to the Game On podcast. You can join us nightly on 2FM, Monday to Friday from 7. Eamon as well as Eamon, how are you doing?
Hey, Damien, good.
Good. Has the most deserving team won the Premier League title?
Well, yes. I think yes and no. Yes, because, you know, it's over a season. They've got the points and, you know, the league table... the cliche says the league table doesn't lie, but the league table sometimes can tell less than the full story. I would say Liverpool and the job that Rodgers did there were probably really deserving of a serious reward. But I wouldn't begrudge Manchester City, it's stupid to do that. But the league table doesn't tell the whole story, and the whole story is more interesting and richer than the bare statistics of points got.
Well, maybe to rephrase it slightly differently then, Pellegrini said afterwards that he was proud to have won the league by playing football the right way and by scoring goals and by trying to entertain people. So has the best footballing team won the league?
Well, yeah, they played very good football, and he himself, you know, appears to be very different from his predecessor, Mancini. He's a calm, charming man. He didn't lose the head when they lost games, and he didn't go mad when they won. And he calmed down the dressing room. He got a solidarity there and a sense of camaraderie and team spirit that I think is very important. And he had some key players. I think they have a lot of weaknesses in their side for a championship-winning team. But Vincent Kompany, David Silva, he dealt with the Joe Hart situation very well. He improved Dzeko an awful lot. And he's had a very, very good season. And, of course, we knew Aguero was a good player, but he was missing for a lot of the season. So... I think he's done a good job. They're not a team I love. I think they have faults, but they do pass the ball. I think David Silva was magnificent when he played all season and would have been, you know, if Luis Suarez hadn't been around, would have been a candidate for player of the year. So, you know, there's no doubt that the balance of power in Manchester was switched, which is a huge thing in its own context. I mean, Manchester City are the club. But you must remember how much they've spent, and that figure is a billion.
Well, on that, when you say they're a team that you're not particularly fond of, is it because it's, you know, are you in the camp of they and PSG and other clubs have effectively bought what success they've had in recent years?
Well, certainly PSG have, and Manchester City have too. I mean, to be fair, Damien, you know, that's not why. No, I think there's a couple of players in the side. I mean, I think they were badly exposed in Europe, for example. I think in a few of the big matches, don't forget Chelsea went there and beat them, it's only a matter of weeks ago, in a very important match. I don't like Yaya Toure, I don't like Kolarov, the left-back, I think he's a poor player. I think Yaya Toure plays when he wants to play, and that goal he scored the other night, you know, to finish off a 4-0 win was typical of him, but you wouldn't see him in the heat of battle. I think they need to improve their squad a little bit. They've also, you know, I mean, they're up against it with UEFA. They've spent so much money. So I kind of wouldn't begrudge them, but they don't do anything for me. Whereas Liverpool, I really thought Liverpool at times this year were really brave, bold, daring, with the players that he had. I thought Brendan Rodgers really, it would have been wonderful. If they'd have won the league, I would have thought that wonderful, but that's probably just stupid old romantic nonsense.
Well, there's a place for that in life, Eamon. We know you're a soft soul at the back of it all, you know.
I kind of, cities, I find it hard to, you know, see Yaya Toure ambling around there. I think he's what they call a flat track bully. That against the rubbish teams, you know, he'll be spectacular looking, but against the real teams, for example, at Chelsea. You won't see him very. You won't see very much of him.
That's a view. I can imagine people are reaching for their phones to text 51552 and 80889 because all the plaudits that have been bestowed upon Toure over the course of the year, both in your newspaper column and on this program.
By me?
No. By other people.
Oh, sorry.
You're one of the only dissenting voices that's out there. Like you know. You just don't see it. Is romance drawing the wool over everyone else's eyes?
I think if you look at him over 90 minutes, don't forget he's in the engine room in midfield. That's where really games can be won and lost. And he strolls around the place. Sometimes He plays in a holding role. Sometimes they let him free and he goes up front, and he's very strong and powerful. He has got a huge amount of ability, but his commitment and his courage under pressure, I doubt. He's been at Arsenal before, they let him go. He was at Barcelona and they let him go. And I can see how, against the lesser teams, particularly in the Premier League, you know, he looks spectacular. Okay. But if you're looking at him forensically for 90 minutes in the big games, and I think he's a showman as well, which something about him I just don't get. I wouldn't have him in any team of mine.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't think he'd be honest.
Okay. Well. Okay. Well, that's your view. That's your honestly held view. A couple of tweets. Dunphy just said he doesn't like Yaya Toure as a player. Is he for real? That's from Chris O'Brien. Well, Chrissy's very firmly for real. The big question, Vincent Kompany talked last night, Eamon, about City now having the potential to build upon this. Two league titles in 3 years. It takes a great team to win it twice, and we can press on and dominate football. The very fact that, by my reckoning, there's only four or five players in that squad who won't go to the World Cup, and how disrupting that could be ahead of next season.
Well, it will certainly take a toll on the teams that get to the later stages of the World Cup. In fact, anyone who goes to the World Cup, I think, given the humidity and the problems, the travel and stuff that will be involved there, will be a bit, won't have a long time to recover. I think they've done really well in the community, Manchester City. They've done great work in the community, which is a deprived part of Manchester. Their young teams have done really well. Whether that can translate into developing their own players, we'll have to wait and see.
Okay.
But they won't be able to spend so much money. But they, for example, here's where they have an advantage. If they and Manchester United are after the same player, and this is what they've done repeatedly, including with Yaya Toure, they can offer as much as they want, and they can offer maybe 30% more in salary, or maybe 50% more in salary, and they've used that weapon. Now, I think that weapon should be out of reach, really.
Okay.
I mean, he's on 300 grand a year, Damien,
after
tax. A week after tax. Now, they've taken players, that other clubs, can't compete with them.
Okay. Owen texting to 51552, City a great team, but they distorted fair play financial rules to make that a great team. We'll move on. We'll talk about Liverpool and the team that seemed to catch a lot of people's eyes and the romance of it all this year. Had to make do with second place, which they'd have taken the arm off you for in advance of the season. Here's their manager, Brendan Rodgers.
Well, firstly, congratulations to Manchester City. They've won an outstanding campaign of competitive football, and so firstly congratulations to them and the manager, Mr. Pellegrini. You know, it's a great effort by their club and the team to win. So on behalf of, as I said myself, I'm just extremely proud of the players and what they've achieved this season. You know, we've won 16 games out of 19 here at Anfield. The last 14 games we've won 12 of them, drew one and lost only once. So in a real precious situation over the period of this time, it's been a huge effort by the players.
Eamon, a couple of challenges. He needs a bigger squad if he's to compete in the Champions League. And there are, you know, you look at 50 goals conceded by the team that finished second in the Premier League. You can be all into this, you score four, we'll score five. But
yeah,
that squad will get destroyed against good teams in Europe next season if he doesn't solidify that defence.
I think so. And the club have suggested he'll get 60 million to spend, which isn't really a lot, and probably won't be able to compete with either Manchester City or Chelsea on wages, which is huge. So it may be all downhill for Liverpool after this. Europe takes a toll on your squad, Damien, and they have a very thin squad. There's no depth there at all, and they're going to have to play their, you know, Champions League games. So, I hope they can keep Luis Suarez. There are an awful lot of big questions there. How long can Steven Gerrard go on? I mean, he was brilliant this year at times, in that new role that Rodgers designed for him. But can they keep going without a massive transfusion of cash? And American owners don't do massive transfusions of cash, as you know.
Yeah, they don't often get it. A tweet in to @GameOn2FM from CAFO. Eamon, who's your manager of the year?
It's a good question. Again, I'm going for Brendan Rodgers, but I think Tony Pulis and Pellegrini, of course. What Tony Pulis did at Crystal Palace is absolutely awesome. They finished 11th. I saw them in the early, I'm sure you did, and other people who are listening to the programme, saw them early in the season. I mean, they looked like Ragball Rovers. They had no players, they had no attitude was bad, and he went there, you know, nobody else wanted the job. And what he's done is extraordinary, and I think he'll be probably people's favourite. But I'd give it to Brendan Rodgers, because I think he, you know, did a lot, played brave football, and got Suarez back after all his difficulties that he had. Don't forget, he missed, I think, the first 7 matches of the season, maybe a little more, maybe 10. Sturridge has worked for him. Raheem Sterling looks a really good player now. He's gone to the World Cup with England. So Rodgers has done a lot with very little in the way of resources. So I would, if Gomez put in my head, I'd go Rodgers.
Okay. Mick and Leash, Eamon has a point about Toure going missing in the big games. Sure, didn't he walk off the pitch at Anfield after the game against Liverpool? He didn't fancy a fight in the centre of midfield. JP Scott in Westport to 51552. The Arabs' investment of $1 billion in the city project amounted to 0.05 of their total portfolio, which is worth $500 billion. At the end of the day, big money came out on top, but only just. Well done to Brendan Rodgers for coaching a side from 7th to 2nd in such a short time. A reminder as well, if you want to put any questions to Eamon, we'll take some calls in a couple of minutes time. 1857 15922. I agree with Eamon about Toure. He doesn't dig in when the going gets tough. Gerard, Lampard, Carragher, when they played, all dug in for the team, playing with honesty. Sick of people praising Liverpool, they bottled it. Never get a better chance from Shea in Drogheda. Do you give that any credence?
I say Shea sounds like a Liverpool supporter. It's disappointing. My own son and my grandson are Liverpool supporters, so it's in our family. And I know my own son, when they gave up 3 goals in 11 minutes against Crystal Palace, was saying some very unpleasant things.
I hope not in front of the grandchild.
Oh, concerned. I think including his grandchild was with him, his child was with him. But I think Liverpool supporters, you know, were really up for it. And in a way, they blew it. You know, they were sort of naive against Chelsea. And in a way, I think the Crystal Palace result made it easier for City last week against Villa. If they'd have beaten Crystal Palace and got those extra 2 points, I think the Villa match last week would have been even tougher for them. So the little things, the Liverpool really came so close. But I don't think they bottled it. I think it was a mixture of inexperience and bad luck.
I'm going to get you to do your team of the year in a couple of minutes' time. Before we do, we're going to press on and talk about England's World Cup squad, named by Roy Hodgson earlier today. Big talking point, as we'll hear in a minute, is the injection of youth and no Ashley Cole, as we suspected, and Shaw is in, Barkley's in, Sterling's in, Lallana. Standby list includes John Stones, John Flanagan. A lot put to Roy Hodgson earlier at his squad announcement about the issue of experience and the depth of talent and depth of World Cup experience that he will have at his disposal in Brazil.
Well, we hope so. I mean, it's like everything else with experience. How do you get experience? You know, you get experience by being given the opportunity, you know. Those 6 who've been there before, once upon a time, they didn't have any experience either. You know, it's a catch-22 situation. We are aware that in this particular group there are players who haven't played their 50-odd games, but I think also that the balance is still quite good.
That's Roy Hodgson. We're joined by Kevin Palmer of the Sunday World. Kevin, how are you doing?
Hi, Damon. How's it going?
Good to talk to you again. Nothing says World Cup like the unveiling of a squad in a car plant.
Exactly, bizarre, wasn't it? I mean, it would be the Opel car plant if it was in Ireland, but it was Vauxhall over in England who are a sponsor of the England team, and somebody suggested that the Vauxhall car maybe wasn't up there among the most glamorous sports cars in the world, and questioned whether the England team could be compared to that at the moment, which put Mr. Hodgson in a very difficult situation for a period. But I think that the question of experience is probably a little bit overrated in many ways. If you look at the team they're going to put out there, it's going to have Wayne Rooney, Steven Gerrard, Baines, Hart, Gary Cahill in it. A lot of the kids that have been picked, the Luke Shaws and the like, are backup players, really, and I don't think they're going to be starters out in Brazil. So very much a squad looking to the future in some ways, but I think that the core of the England team is still going to have plenty of experience in there.
And Kevin, I think he alluded to it himself in his press conference that Sky Sports News, their viewers, had predicted a 30-man squad a couple of weeks back. So in reality, no real surprises. It's very hard to get any real heavy talking points out of it.
Absolutely. I mean, to be honest, if you were on Twitter last night, you would have known the England squad probably before half the players did. It was leaking everywhere. I think the lads that weren't in the squad were disappointed, and their agents and themselves were leaking them. And the lads that did make the cut were telling people, and that was getting out as well. So there's no major talking point. I mean, the one that the English media seems to be hyping up is Ross Barkley, and that could he be the new Paul Gascoigne? But as we know, our friends in the English media like to hype up the England team and let themselves believe they're going to win the World Cup every year, and then unfortunately the matches start and reality kicks home.
But on that, Eamon, you look at it in a way, by balancing the squad the way he's balanced it, and so many players who've less than five caps and everything else, the narrative at the press conference today was all about can this team compete, rather than how easily are you going to win the World Cup, which other managers have had to endure over the years.
Yeah, they're not contenders for the World Cup by a mile. I mean, they won't be anywhere near contending for the World Cup. They have got some good young players. Shaw is very good, and the lad at Everton is excellent, potentially. But they're not going to be England. They aren't serious contenders for the World Cup. But they have, you know, they've always been like that. Even when they had good players, they still were short. I think they'll still be short this time as well.
Is there anyone tonight, if they're in their heart of hearts looking at it, can really feel hard done by not to be in the squad?
Well, to be honest, Ashley Cole, Damien, I don't know what Ashley Cole's done to anybody. He was brilliant. He played against Liverpool. He played in the two games against Madrid. He's a fabulous lad and a very, very good player. And he's been bombed out by Mourinho, and he's bombed out by England. Now, I do think Shaw is a good player. Southampton left back, very good player. But I would have taken Ashley Cole. I think he's one of the best left backs in the world. I still think he is. I don't know what he's done.
Yeah, Kevin, what's the sense?
There's a slight euphoria over here about Luke Shaw at the moment. I mean, I did a story this morning saying that Manchester United have bid £27 million for him, which for an 18-year-old kid who's played 45 minutes for England seems a pretty outrageous figure to be bandying around. Now, I know Man United are in need of some serious injection of confidence and something from somewhere after what's happened this season. But I mean, I've worked for Southampton for many years, and the lad is a good player, but he's a good player. He's played one full season in the Premier League, you know, one and a half, if you like. And yes, he's got a lot of promise, but I think some people are hoping he's the new Gareth Bale or the new Theo Walcott, but more the new Gareth Bale. And they're thinking if they get in early with a big bid that they'll be able to get him. But the big ask to hope, just because he comes from Southampton and just because he's a nice young man and because he plays in a similar position to Gareth Bale, that he's going to turn into a new Gareth Bale. I think that's taking things too far. And I think, unfortunately for Ashley Cole, he's been washed out of the England squad on the back of this euphoria around Shaw. But one thing I would say about Ashley Cole, he's been a walking PR disaster most of his career. But last night he was very dignified in the way he handled his omission from the England squad. He made a very nice statement and handled it all very well. So on that score, he ends his England career, which is, oftentimes he's been booed at Wembley and the like, which is very unfortunate for a lad who's given so much for his country, 107 caps. He ends his England career with a little bit of respect and dignity that he deserves, I think.
Eamon, just a final question before we move back to the Premier League. Hodgson, the very fact that it's a squad that's effectively dominated by Liverpool, Southampton, Everton, there have been suggestions that he's going to look to try and recreate club partnerships on the international stage. But the type of football those teams play, it's not quite the polar opposite, but it's quite some distance from what we've seen Roy Hodgson teams play. So that mentality and the application might not be completely compatible.
Yeah, no, I don't think it works if you try and transfer a club relationship to the national team. It simply doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. I think he's making the best of a pretty poor hand, Damien. You know, if you're the England manager, no matter what people say about English football, the expectation is massive. Mm-hmm. If you just think back to the Chelsea Atletico Madrid game at Stamford Bridge, you know, Atletico made Chelsea, who, you know, are the second best team or third best team in England, look like babies, you know, in terms of. And I don't think English football is competitive at Champions League level. It's certainly not going to be competitive in the World Cup. And it could be a major shock, actually. I think they're in a tough, tough group, in a tough, tough place. They may be coming home early.
It could be like France all those years ago when the fans were on the way out through the airport to go to, wasn't it, Japan and South Korea, and the team were on the way home. But anyway, yeah. Kevin, we'll let you go. We'll chat again over the close season when all the transfers start to kick in and closer to the World Cup. Good to talk to you.
Cheers, Damien.
Kevin Palmer of the Sunday World joining us there. Eamon, we'll do a few callers. We'll start with Michael in Monaghan. Michael, you're a Man U fan. What do you want to talk to Eamon about?
Hiya, Damien. Hiya, Eamon. Yeah, hi, just Michael. two quick questions as a Man United supporter. I just want to know your opinion, Eamon, first of all, on Van Gaal. Is Van Gaal the right man to bring in to steady the ship and bring us back to the glory days? That's my first question. And my second question is, I do know we're going to be overpriced in a lot of our transfer targets this summer because we're in the position we're in, but it's $33 million that's been spoken about for Luke Shaw, not a bit overpriced at the minute. Now, he has the potential probably to be the best left-back in Europe in time, in definitely in 3 or 4 years' time, definitely he has. I'm just wondering, is it a big gamble to take $33 million on an 18-year-old?
Well, it's a good question, Michael. I'd answer the second question first because it relates back to how Van Gaal will do. I mean, I think I would pay that, but there is transfer market inflation, and you have to factor that in because there's about 10 clubs out there with, you know, limitless amounts of money who will spend it. And I think this kid is a very good player. Don't think he's going to be Gareth Bale or anything like that, but I think he's a top-class player, and, you know, that's the going rate for a top-class player. As to Van Gaal, the question is this. I mean, I think the guy has the experience and the knowledge, and he has won trophies, and he has managed big clubs, Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Ajax. So there's no doubt he has that. He's managed at international level, not with great success so far, but will the Glazers give him the kind of money he needs? And the kind of money, he needs 5 or 6 Luke Shaws. Now, and some of them will cost a lot more than 33 million. Some of them will be up around, you know, don't forget Gareth Bale was sold for 100 million euros, 80 million pounds. So that appears to be the new benchmark. For example, if they wanted Suarez, how much is Suarez going to cost? Now, I don't think the Glazers will sign those kinds of checks. So I think when Van Gaal gets to Old Trafford after the World Cup, which isn't good either, but leaving that aside, when he gets there, he's going to see a squad that's very, very thin, doesn't have enough good players in it by a long chalk. Now, he's going to go to the board and say, I need those 5 players, and it's going to cost several hundred million, and the wages will be, the benchmark at United has been set by Wayne Rooney, who's on 300 grand after tax a week. So I think he's walking into a very, very difficult situation. And much though I love myself, Michael, I'm glad I'd fancy myself to do a job. I wouldn't want that one.
Michael, briefly, as a United fan, Michael, here to put one to you as a United fan, not going to be in Europe next season. When you go knocking on the doors of agents or knocking on the doors of clubs to sign players this year, do you think that's going to work against you to any major level?
I'm not too sure. I think it can work both ways. Obviously, with the top draw players like Tony Cruz, Marco Roos, that we're all being linked with, that may be a stumbling block there for no Champions League football. But then again, you also have to look at the chance to come in and turn our fortunes around and make us a powerhouse again and get legendary status almost immediately. So that might be a good enough carrot, you know?
Michael, good to talk to you. Thanks for the call. It's Michael in Monaghan. We're going to go to Wicklow to Tommy. Tommy, an Arsenal-related issue.
How are you doing, lads? How are you?
Hey, Tommy.
I was just wondering, would you think that Arsenal would have finished higher or even as champions if Ramsey hadn't been injured? Brilliant, like at start of the season.
Yes.
Arsenal were downhill when he got injured, and he was brilliant again, even there Saturday, another magnificent goal.
Yep. I think he was missed when because he was having a great season when he was injured. I don't think there would have been champions, Tommy. They just don't have the steel to give too many soft goals away. And again, I mean, you're an Arsenal fan, so you'll know their record against the Chelsea's, the Manchester United's even. Even United went to the Emirates and got a 0-0 draw, I think. You know their record against the top sides. And that's what would worry me if I was an Arsenal fan.
Poor against them this season, Norwich.
Yeah, and that's what they need to cure. Now, one player, and a good player, Aaron Ramsey, isn't going to change that. I just think the culture they have, they need to change. And if I was an Arsenal fan, you know, much though I admire Wenger, I'd want to change, a complete change. I think they're the most expensive ticket in the league. He's the best paid manager in the league. But I think Arsenal fans must be beginning to feel shortchanged a little bit.
How do you feel on that, Tommy?
Yeah, that's something I've been thinking and chatting about with mates like as well. That I think mostly that Wenger, I think he should kind of step down or maybe even be pushed because, you know, it's just one of them things where I think they're kind of wilting underneath them. You know, they're just going nowhere at the moment.
Okay, Tommy, good to talk to you. 51552 for text. We're going to get a team of the year from Darren in Dublin. Darren, give the team, and you'll have to endure now Eamon's analysis, so I hope you're ready for this.
I'm not too sure. I'm well used to Eamon's analysis on TV anyway, so I'm sure he'll pick off it. So, yeah, I've Joe Hart in goals, and then I've got Zabaleta on at right back. The man never stops running. That's an easy pick. And you're going to go with Company and Cahill as a partnership in the middle, and then Luke Shaw left back. And you got Adam Lallana right midfield. Gerrard and Toure pretty much pick themselves along with Hazard on the left. And then the front two is easy enough in Suarez and Sturridge.
Okay, the phone line's not the best, but Eamon, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I got most of them. It's interesting. Well, Joe Hart, or Petacek, who's maybe a little bit more reliable. Funny enough, there isn't a great goalkeeper in the Premier League. I'd go with Seamus Coleman at right back. And I'd go with Shaw at left back. I'd go centre half, Vincent Kompany and John Terry. But I wouldn't argue with Cahill because he is a good player and he has had a good season. I just think Terry is the greatest defender in England, even now. And then I think we'd start going off in different directions. David Villa for sure. David Silva.
David Silva.
Yeah, in midfield. Now, there's an embarrassment. I wouldn't have Yaya Touré if you gave me for nothing. and Steven Gerrard, I don't think, has the legs to get around anymore. I'd have Suarez, Aguero, Sturridge. They'd all be in.
Okay.
I'm just short of it. Lallana at Southampton, I genuinely haven't seen enough of. For some reason, I haven't seen enough of Southampton this year. But I'd be in the Brendan Rodgers camp. Throw talent at them and maybe Raheem Sterling. Now, how you juggle David Silva, Raheem Sterling, Sturridge, Suarez, and Aguero? I mean, I'd love to see Aguero and Suarez and Sturridge playing as a three up front.
I'm just thinking, you've some big personalities there, and you in the dressing room as well. It could be a bit of crack.
It certainly would be. Football's supposed to be crack. I think there's been some wonderful forward players. The great sort of mystery of the Premier League, and indeed all across Europe, is the shortage of really good defenders.
Okay. I'm going to finalise this because we're going to tweet this. So you've Cech in goal, you've Coleman at right back, Company and Terry centre back, Shaw left back. Went for Silva and Sterling on the wings, then Suarez, Aguero, and Sturridge up front. Yeah. So you're missing. You could be missing a holding midfielder.
I'm missing a holding midfielder because I can't think of one.
Okay.
I'm open to offers, but I can't really think. I see Steven Gerrard wasn't quite a holding midfield player. He played just in front of the back four. Perhaps if you played Steven Gerrard there, that's where the place is. That this little role that Brendan Rodgers devised, it's between being a back four player and being just, 10 yards in front of the back four. Play him and David Silva there, and then go with Sterling, Aguero, Sturridge, and Suarez.
The lads here are suggesting maybe David Luiz, maybe Michael Carrick.
I wouldn't have David Luiz.
No. You wouldn't have David Luiz doing your garden.
I wouldn't have David Luiz doing my garden, to be honest with you, Damien.
Come here, we'll leave it there. We're miles over in time. Good to talk to you as always, Eamon. Happy Monday. Talk to you next week.
Bye bye.
Eamon Dunphy joining us as he does on Mondays. Game over.